Welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. This week, Alyssa Mastromonaco, Megan Gailey, Kieran Deal, and What a Day's Akila Hughes tackle the following questions. Can you make people angry enough to market your Hillary documentary for you for free? Is it funny or sad when influencers pose knee-deep in a toxic lake for the likes? Is it possible to start a friendship by hitting somebody with a door? All this and more, starting right now. Before we get to the show, one quick item of housekeeping. If you're not already listening to What a Day, which you should be because it's great, next week I will be filling in for Akila when she's out. So I will be guest co-hosting What a Day with my old pal from the Daily Beast, Gideon Resnick. And you should tune in. I think it'll be a fun journey for all of us. The president has selected as his impeachment defense team several screaming men who would probably receive unanimous votes to get into the Sex Creep Hall of Fame. We've got not one, but two alumni of Jeffrey Epstein's legal defense team, Ken Starr, and America's second most powerful dirty old man, Alan Dershowitz. Guess Donald Trump expects Senate Republicans to take impeachment about as seriously as they take sexual abuse allegations against rich white guys, which is to say, not at all. But with less than a year to go before we inaugurate our next president, fingers crossed, and with less time to go between now and the Iowa caucuses than it takes contestants on The Bachelor to say I love you, the Democratic primary field is still pretty crowded, so as much as I'd love to chat with all of you about what a gross person Ken Starr is, today we're talking about what's going on with the Dems. To help, I'm going to call my friend, former Deputy Chief of Staff under President Barack Obama, and the only person I know to accidentally flash a living Secretary of State, Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Hello.
Hey, Alyssa.
Hey, Erin.
You've been watching The Bachelor, right?
Yes. It's terrible this season.
Okay. I'm behind, which means I guess I'm ahead in life.
You are.
Yeah. But okay, here's something that has been kind of bugging me a little bit. They've been leaning in so much to the sexiness of pilots, or this assumed sexiness of airline pilots, you know?
Like, yeah, oh, they have. It's true. And there's a lot of leather and fancy cars pulling up to his little plane.
Right, right. And it's like, oh, look at him in his uniform and whatever. And it's like, ooh, pilots. Everybody's into pilots, right? And this isn't the first time that the Bachelor franchise has been kind of leaning into pilots. Do you remember the Jake season?
No, well, no. That was before I succumbed.
He was I've been watching this for longer than some dogs have been alive. But there was another pilot on the show, and it was like, yeah, ladies, you love pilots. What? I don't love pilots. I watched too many episodes of Unsolved Mysteries when I was a kid. So when I see a pilot, I think Secret Family.
I mean, that is, if you are a fan of the Lifetime genre of movie, that is definitely the conclusion you come to.
Yeah, I think Secret Family. And the handsomer the pilot, the more brazen the Secret Family.
And the more families.
And the more Secret Families. Some of them probably got 5-6 Secret Families. This is based on nothing. This opinion is just me based on watching Unsolved Mystery reruns on Lifetime. So, but anyway, that's my... The thing that's stuck in my craw this week.
You know what? Of all the things that could be stuck in that craw of yours, it's not a terrible one.
No, it's not. But let's talk about something real, maybe.
That's
I know. What was that noise?
It was my fake cat hairball pre-barf burp.
That's pretty good.
It's vivid, right?
I do feel it. I feel it in my mind. I feel it in my spirit. So the New York Times editorial board released its endorsements, endorsements for the Democratic primary for president, and wow, shock of shocks, they hyped it up a lot, and they tried to make it seem like it was the most important thing in the world, and then they didn't really endorse anybody. They endorsed two people. They endorsed Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar. What did you think about their choice or cop-out?
It's a fucking cop-out. I mean, here's the thing. It's actually not a cop-out. It felt more like a made-for-TV moment, like that everyone was, anticipating this New York Times endorsement, which, like, let's be clear, for Amy Klobuchar, the Quad City Times endorsement in Iowa was probably, in practice, a bigger deal for her. And you read it, and they play it up, and there's a video, and they're like, it's Warren and woman, Amy Klobuchar. And you're like, oh my God. And they're like footnote about it, like why their endorsement is so important. It's as if to say, America, we are feminists. And like, it just fucking pick one. What's an endorsement? You don't endorse two people. Has that even ever happened before?
It just
felt like, come on.
I mean, did you feel pandered to?
Yeah, I felt pandered to. I was like, what do you think? I don't see through you right now. Like, yay, New York Times, feminist as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, this is the same New York Times that has an editorial page that is a veritable minefield of idiot opinions. Bret Stephens is still writing for the New York Times.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, he's around. The bed bug, the bed bug himself. He's around. And, you know, we've got Barry Weiss still writing for the opinion pages of the New York Times. We've got really, I actually don't think that this is any indication. I think the New York Times thinks that this is an indication that they are feminist. You know, look, we're down with the ladies. We're down with women's lib or whatever they still call it in the annals of the times.
in the newsroom.
Right, exactly. It's like some 70s era nomenclature. But honestly, I think that this is more of a reflection of the New York Times getting a little bit Trumpy. And I don't mean Trumpy in that they're sharing his ideology. I mean that they're Trumpy in that they're sharing his methodology. Donald Trump is all about getting attention. And he's all about manipulating the media and controlling the news cycle. And this just felt like something that was more artifice than it was substance. And I think that when you look past the actual presentation, there was a lot of substantial information there.
Right.
So it was a shame that the presentation kind of cheapened what the Times had actually done.
Right. I mean, I read the whole thing, and that's the, you know, I guess I have a very radical view right now. In the world as we exist, right, as fake news, I think I just want like fewer opinions from the people giving me my news, and just like, just the facts, as they used to say in the old movies, just the facts, ma'am. Like, that's how I feel right now. I don't kind of want to know what they think. I just want them to tell me what they know that's true.
Right. Yeah. I mean, here's another thing I was thinking as people on Twitter were lambasting this. I can't think of a single person whose vote would be changed by the New York Times endorsement. But what I could think of as I was looking at it. So Bernie Sanders supporters, and rightfully so, have perceived that a lot of people in the mainstream media seem to have bias against Bernie. Now, not everybody, obviously,
right,
but a fair enough number of people in the mainstream media seem to display a bias against Bernie that I think that they're on high alert for instances of media bias against Bernie. Mm-hmm. And when something like The Times comes out and it says something like, here's what it said regarding Bernie. Mr. Sanders would be 79 when he assumed office, and after an October heart attack, his health is a serious concern. He promises that once in office, a groundswell of support will emerge to push through his agenda. 3 years into the Trump administration, we see little advantage to exchanging one overpromising divisive figure in Washington for another. That's some pretty harsh words for Bernie. And knowing the Bernie Sanders supporters that I know, wouldn't take that and be like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right.
Like, totally.
Like, that's the sort of thing that gets people in Bernie's camp really fired up.
And rightfully so, I think. I think it is fair if they find that unfair.
Yeah. Also, ever since his October heart attack, he has not seemed to slow down whatsoever. Remember the debate?
No.
Right after?
Yeah, he came back. It's almost like he came back with like a superpower. Like those 3 days down in the hospital fucking brought, you know, pumped even more life into him.
Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, Bernie is radiating
some
kind of.
In the same way, I would just like to say, like, if you think about it, who has more like palpable? I'm not just fucking disparaging anyone, so everyone can stop fucking DMing me nasty shit. But like EW and Bernie, who are two of the older candidates in the field, are like nonstop. Like, have you ever seen Elizabeth Warren appear tired?
No.
And I'm talking about like after you know she's finished 10,000 selfies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's still, I mean, she doesn't appear, she never appears tired. She always seems to be very sharp. She doesn't ever seem to kind of, like, she doesn't Biden in and out. She doesn't kind of fade in and out of lucidity.
No, she thinks faster than any single person on that stage on her feet,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. I mean, and Bernie, I think, has a similar quality to him. He never seems like he's run down. He sometimes seems, like, slightly crankier.
Or, like, annoyed.
Yeah, but I actually don't, I mean, the thing, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting cranky about a world that you think is massively fucked up and that you want to fix. Like, get cranky. Well, I want to pivot from talking about Bernie in the context of the New York Times and the New York Times kind of coming out with their endorsement, which is, I don't know who it's for. I want to talk about something else that came out this week, which was Hillary Clinton is starring in a new documentary, which is about to premiere at Sundance. And one of the things that made news from that documentary is that she doesn't have, she doesn't really feel very warmly about Bernie Sanders. She said he was in Congress for years. He had one senator support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He got nothing done. He was a career politician. It's all just baloney, and I feel so bad that people got sucked into it. She says that in the film. They did the Hollywood Reporter did an interview with her about the film. They asked her if that assessment still holds, and she said, yes, it does. So, Alyssa, what do you make of that?
I'm going to tell you what I make. And we talked about this a little bit, but my takeaway from everything that happened yesterday is that, one, did you know about this documentary before yesterday?
Nope.
No. So it appears to me that between the Hollywood Reporter and the documentarian Nanette Bernstein, that what they did yesterday, this whole thing to, like, gin up, you know, awareness about the documentary feels akin to yelling fire in a crowded theater. Like, it feels very irresponsible. And, you know, Hillary is allowed to say whatever the fuck she wants. She has dedicated her life to public service. She has endured more than her share of bullshit. So she can say what she says. I think that based on what was reported out yesterday morning, that Bernie's response, I mean, look, they're going into impeachment hearings. Every reporter in the world is staked out. You knew he was going to be asked, Bernie, nobody likes you. How does that make you feel? And I thought that he responded with aplomb, you know, and was just like, well, on a good day, my wife likes me. So, you know, like, there's that. Uh-huh. And I thought that was great. And you know, I think I tweeted something to the effect of there was no better way to handle it. And people were like, die, bitch. You have always hated Hillary. And I'm like, what is wrong with everyone in the world right now? And the truth is just that, you know, the way that the producer, the documentarian and the Hollywood Reporter did it really fucked shit up. You know, like, I just think it was really irresponsible. And we have so much going on with impeachment and things that are actually vitally important. That I just really, I was really, like, I was genuinely upset about it. I thought it was uncool. And that is not a fucking word about Hillary. Mm-hmm. Like I said, she can say whatever she wants. But I think that the tactics used to promote the documentary were a bit unsavory.
Yeah, I think here's an important thing that I have to remind myself of is I have to be very wary of reacting to stories that confirm my greatest hopes or my greatest fears or my greatest annoyances. And I think a lot of people who support Bernie Sanders have, for whatever reason, found Hillary continuing to weigh in on politics something that kind of supports their fears and annoyances about the party establishment and about entrenched power structures trying to keep Bernie from breaking in, basically. And I think that, you know, by reacting en masse yesterday to this news story and to this documentary, this clip from a documentary about Hillary Clinton that is about a lot more than just that.
Exactly.
It gave them a lot of free PR. You didn't have to, you know, you don't have to react. Hillary Clinton isn't running for office right now. You can watch the documentary or not watch the documentary. It seems like it's going to be a really interesting portrait that gave filmmakers a lot of access to a historically important figure and got her talking about topics that we haven't seen her talking about before. So it sounds like it'll be an interesting film. If you don't want to see it because it'll make you really, really mad, you don't have to see it. You don't have to.
And you don't have to. But you know what was hugely enjoyable? I don't know if we've talked about this. Hillary's interview with Howard Stern, which again was something where she talked about things I had never seen her talk about. You can watch it online, but I thought it was great. But you know what yesterday sent me to? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm feeling depressed about politics, I go down the C-SPAN rabbit hole. And I was like, when was it ever this bad? And I was reminded of the 1980 primary when Ted Kennedy primaried President Jimmy Carter. And I watched large sections of the convention. And I would just, there were not two people who fought more vigorously against each other. And I just, you know, and I don't know if they ever ended up liking each other, but I thought the moment on the convention floor when Kennedy gives, you know, the famous speech that ends, you know, for all those whose cares have been our concern,
the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die.
I just feel like, I don't know, it made me feel less bad that like things can actually get okay again. Because right now it doesn't feel that way.
Right. Yeah, I think that's an important reminder is that like every 4 years or, you know, if we have a person in your own party, 8 years, people lose their goddamn minds. Like politics is something that brings people out in a way that sometimes is helpful, sometimes is not helpful. But yeah, this is going to be the next few months. Things are going to be pretty heated. And another thing I think is really important is like, I think people forget that they can log off. You know, like
right.
If you say something on Twitter that is taken in bad faith by people who support a candidate you don't support and people come for you, you can log off. You can. I do it all the time.
I agree. And you know what else, though, too? I think that when you are on Twitter, you need to stop or any social media platform. You need to stop and think to yourself, is that person saying something positive about someone or something negative about someone else? And if someone is just saying something positive about someone, I just, even if I don't agree, I just keep going. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like everyone just fucking calm down.
We have finite energy and we shouldn't waste it on dumb shit. We're all putting all this energy into like little tiny boxes that we hold in our hands. And there's this big world that is heating up to the point we're all going to boil alive. So we should maybe pay attention to that.
It's quite true. It's quite true.
Okay. Well, you know, Alyssa, when I was introing you before I called you up, I gave some glancing reference to a guy that I think deserves his entire segment. And his name is Kenneth Meriwether Starr. Now, I don't
Fuck
know.
That if, guy.
Meriwether isn't his middle name. I just made it up. Murgatroyd. Kenneth Murgatroyd Starr. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that
how,
guy.
How is he like the bad penny that he just keeps coming back?
Honestly,
it's like, haven't we had enough?
Honestly, the guy is like the Jeter of sexual assault. Like he is like, his whole career has been just characterized by facilitating, exploiting, or enabling or defending men who harm women. Like during the Lewinsky trial, he exploited Monica Lewinsky and harmed her.
Yes.
And then he moved on to Baylor, where he facilitated an environment where football players could get away with rape pretty easily. And then he got fired for like letting football players get away with too much from a school in Texas, which is really tough. So, you know, that's an achievement. Then he served as a member of Jeffrey Epstein's legal team.
Fuck that guy. Also, don't forget, this is just a little fun fact I like to always poke in when I think about Ken Starr, that the Starr Report, which was written about the Whitewater trial, was written with the help of Brett Kavanaugh when he was just a little guy.
Honestly, these guys are the New York Yankees of being sex creeps. Just
I mean,
sex
is this
creeps.
What the Federalist Society is?
I mean, I'm the Pederalist Society. Honestly, I'm starting to feel like that there's the common thread here seems to be like it should be okay for powerful guys to do whatever they want to whoever they want. And we just kind of have to deal with that. And that sucks. Fuck Ken Starr. Fuck him. Fuck the president's legal team.
Fuck them all.
They're all just the worst.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
This was like very necessary therapy. I always feel better after I talk to you, IRL. But like, yeah, I felt like we had to get that to purge this shit. Now we're moving on.
Yeah. Fuck that guy, Ken Starr. Everybody should just, you know, remind themselves that we all kind of go nuts every 4 years, and this too shall pass.
This too shall pass.
Okay. Alyssa, great talking to you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. All right, welcome back after a couple of technical snafus. We are in the big studio today.
Wow.
The big boy studio.
Wow, wow, wow.
Recording Personal Political, and I am no longer alone at a table. I'm going to introduce the wonderful women that are with me today to talk about our big topic. First of all, she's a comedian and actor, and those of you who live in San Francisco can see her at The Punchline on Thursday the 23rd. It's Kieran Deal.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
I felt good before, but now I feel great.
Isn't this glamorous in here?
Just the lights coming down from the ceiling. I'm just looking from left to right, feeling very special.
Well lit.
it's like half like late night set, half bunker.
Yes.
I feel like if something bad happened, this is a safe room.
Don't you think that was on purpose?
Oh, maybe.
Conspiracy theorist. Damn. Megan Gailey.
I'm just planning.
Up next, comedian and host of the new podcast, which she hosts with her husband.
Oh, God.
It's Megan Gailey.
Hi.
How's it going? How's the great?
We've done four so far, and I'm better than CJ is.
It's hard.
So that's one of our guests told CJ he was flat out wrong. He said a name and our guest goes, no, that is incorrect. And I was like, thank you.
And last but not least, she's the host of the Crooked Media podcast, What a Day, Akilah Hughes.
What a do. Good morning.
Welcome to the morning time.
Yeah, we record in the big studio. So I'm like, this is not glamorous. I'm just still at work.
Oh,
good morning.
Sorry about that. Sorry you don't record in a studio that like holds on to heat.
I love that other room. I always feel like that's glamorous.
My armpits were sweating in there. I was spreading my arms out and letting the air get into my armpits through my sweater holes.
Yeah, the pot is greener on the other side, I guess.
We had a lot of good sweater material that the listeners are never going to get, but just know that it's there.
It's there.
And if you ever want it, let us know.
Yeah, ask us about it.
It'll be there in the archives.
Yeah.
we'll send it to the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this week, I wanted to talk about a topic that I find myself thinking about a lot, and I don't like that I'm thinking about it as much as I am. And then the more I think about it, the more I'm like, but there's no going back. And were we ever living in a time when this didn't exist? And then I get kind of existential. We're going to talk about influencers. And by that, I mean the people who are on social media, the people who are on TV with no discernible skills beyond making themselves look happy while enjoying goods and services, I guess.
That is a skill.
Is that the definition? That is the definition?
Is that what you would call an influencer, Kieran?
I don't know. Like, but it's, is it that you have to not have another skill other than being like essentially popular?
I don't think that's what they would want it called. I mean, one of these questions, like, what do you think of when you think of an influencer? And I was like, I think of someone that doesn't have another job.
Oh, gotcha.
But as you like read through, it's like, oh, all these people have like 17 jobs, which sometimes equals no job. Mm-hmm. You know, like the more things on a business card, the less good you are at all of those. If you're like, I'm a chef, a magician, a masseuse, it's like, I'm not going to hire you to do any of those things for me.
Just like a comedian then.
Exactly. I didn't want to go there, but that's exactly what
like,
it is.
I was like, that's literally how I describe a comedian to people.
Yeah.
What do you want? A script? What do you want? This? What do you want? That? I got stuff. Like,
I'll do
like,
it all. Yeah.
I know exactly. They're like the people on the street in New York who have a bunch of
the buskers.
Yeah. Or it's like, you got a hat. You want a hat?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You want a ruler? I got a ruler. Like, it's like that.
Or it's maybe sad commentary on late stage capitalism that you have to have 15 different jobs and most of them are embarrassing. I don't know. Akilah, what do you think an influencer is?
Ooh, I mean, honestly, I think I'm going to, it's weird that I am on the side of influencers right now. It's so rare. I think that influencers are just people who have a lot of influence. And so I think that like social media is one definition, but I actually think that like celebrity culture at all has always been influential. And like, that's how you maintain status. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we've just democratized it with the internet, with everything, you know? Like,
so any dipshit can be an influencer.
Yeah, like sort of how like comedy on Instagram is just like a premise. Yeah. Like there's no acting skill. There's no second beat. It's just, what if you were tall? Here's a bunch of clips of me being tall. Like, I think that we're just like, okay, anyone can be funny, I guess, mm-hmm. to like three people and that's enough.
Right. But I mean, yeah, I think that's a really good point that this isn't the first wave of yeah. influencers. People have always been. I remember reading women's magazines or like teen magazines when I was a kid and them showing like what a celebrity was wearing and being like, get the look and mm-hmm. showing what things that you could get from, I don't know, Delia's or Alloy catalog mm-hmm. or whatever. Right. Keila knows this.
Yeah, for sure. I do. I'm deep. yeah.
But it was like, get the look, and now you can dress like them, and now you can be like them, mm-hmm. and now you can be happy like them. But I think that right now we're in a moment where influencers are sort of both people who influence us and people who have put themselves out in public enough that we almost feel like a license to be mean to them
yeah.
and mm-hmm. to be happy when bad things happen to them. Like, mm-hmm. here's what I'm thinking about specifically. An article that brought me great joy and then shame uh-huh. about the joy. So there's a lake in mm-hmm. Siberia that is bright blue. Mm-hmm. And last year, maybe a year and a half ago, there was an article about how influencers were flocking to the beach of this lake because they wanted to take photos of themselves standing in it. Problem is, the lake is a toxic dump site. And if you were to stand in the lake too long, you would ostensibly grow flippers. Or worse, tumors, probably, actually.
I heard about this one in advance. I'm very proud of that. Normally, I have no idea what's going on. I was like, I know this one. And I know this one.
Well, the tone of the article was basically like, ha-ha. And the tone of my brain while reading it was like, ha-ha. Megan, why do you think that we take joy in watching, like, embarrassing things happen to influencers?
Some of it, honestly, probably has to be jealousy, I think, to some extent. Like, I saw influencers post staying at a hotel that I had paid for, and I was like, well, I want to post and get to stay there for free. And so when shitty things happen to them, I'm like, that's what you get for getting free stuff. Mm-hmm. But this Siberian lake thing, it's like, well, this is bad because chemical waste is bad. And even though it makes the lake look pretty, going and taking a picture next to it is still sending a very strange and not even true. You're not at an ocean. You're next to a Russian chemical plant. This reminded me of The Simpsons. Like, this was, Homer would be like, this is pretty, Marge. And then they would get their family Christmas card taken in front of Mr. Burns, like, bubbling lava lake and think that that was, like, it's, we've gotten so far out of what is normal that you almost have to make fun of it or you're in a true sadness over the state of our society. It's, I feel like my fucking dad. I'm like, what's happening to the world? It's very Kids Get Off My Lawn. But like, I post thirst traps all the time and I'm married. And I'm like, please look at my ass.
Non-ironic satire. When you said The Simpsons is like non-ironic satire. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that people, the reason I would imagine that you feel like ha-ha or whatever is the inauthenticity of the gesture is what's always kind of, you know, we're all, every, like, the internet is a place where you can kind of present the image that you want, but an influencer is a person who has made it their job to kind of curate a lifestyle that they are selling to you as, like, this is normal. And I think what can be challenging is that, of course, we're going to compare ourselves. Like, if you're, like, there was some articles that were in the outline this week of, like, moms, right? And it was, like,
Murfers.
Right. And then there's these moms in Byron Bay who, like, live this perfect, perfect life with, like, all these white women, and they're all kind of, like, rich with their, like, micro-businesses. And it's just, like, yeah, I have friends who are moms, and, like, it's really fucking hard, and I'll listen to them have a breakdown. And I'm sure that if you're scrolling through Instagram and that's what you see, you'd be like, man, I need to be better at this, you know?
I think that it does, like, present. I mean, here's something that I do that I think is, like, influenced by influencers is if I'm at my house.
I just like influenced by influencers.
Influenced if I am, yeah, if I'm an influencee. if I'm at my house and I'm going to post something to Instagram, like if I'm reading a book, I'll post a picture of it because mm-hmm. I think like reading is good and that's the thing people should share. Mm-hmm. I'll post a picture of it, but before I do, I'll make sure that I set it down on a surface that I'm like, I'm okay mm-hmm. with people seeing this surface in my house. And if there's something in the way, I'll clean it up even if that space is usually cluttered. And it's like, this is never clean. This isn't how my house looks. This is just what I'm, or like if I'm like, I posted a mirror selfie the other day, but before I did that, I had to take down like
everything
four,
in the back.
Yeah, there was like four towels hanging on the edge of the door. And like, I had to take everything down, throw it on my bed and pretend like, oh yeah, my hallway is always pristine. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. Nothing is ever clean like it is on Instagram. Okay. Have you guys been watching The Circle?
I watched an episode last night.
Okay, so I have been watching The Circle on Netflix because my friend Haley texted me telling me her entire improv group is watching The Circle on Netflix and that she was watching it and she hated it. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I have to watch it now. If you hate it this much, I need to see what all the fuss is about. It is a, for those who haven't watched it, it's a reality show where people are sequestered in individual apartments in the same building and forced to join a social network with each other where they compete to be the most liked person. And
dystopia.
And you can pretend to
you
be anybody.
Catfish, yeah.
You can catfish people. You can pretend to be anybody.
Wait, so they can aggregate photos from the internet or something?
They can.
Did you not watch it?
No. I don't watch reality. I'm sorry.
I tried to watch an episode last night. I tried. I could not get through the first one. And this is my issue. Like, if I'm watching reality television, I'm watching a screen where other people are interacting, which I'm not doing at the time. I'm on my sofa being a piece of shit, watching other people interact, mm-hmm. right? But now you want me to watch a screen where I'm watching other people interact on a screen? Get the fuck out of my life. Get the fuck out of my life. Are you kidding me? That's too removed.
It's actually another Simpsons thing. Like people watching TV.
It
like,
sort of reminds like, me of the photo.
Infinity mirrors. Mm-hmm.
It's like, but it's like so many different forms of media layered on top of each other. It's like I saw in a newsletter, like a Politico newsletter, I saw a photo of Lev Parnas watching himself be interviewed on Rachel Maddow. Like, it was like the same kind of thing. It's like, do I want to watch people consuming media as part of my media? Mm. Which is very college professory.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't actually make it.
I loved it.
They don't make it clear if any of these people have large social media followings
already
going into it either. Like, it's like, we don't even know if these, I mean, they're all like attractive or interesting or like have something going on. So, but they're not in and of itself influencers outside of the show, I don't think. But there are people that go on reality television for the sole purpose. They're not there to win the
money.
That's
what The Bachelorette
They're
is
not
now.
There to mm-hmm. try and find love. They're there to try and build their social media following. And that is actually, I don't think there was a study, but I think like it's in sort of accepted that in the UK, you would be better suited to go on Love Island than to go to university.
Oh, for sure.
Because you will be able to start making actual money immediately. Mm-hmm. When I was reading all these articles last night, I was like, I feel so old. But then these moms, it's like they almost transition from like, I'm a hot girl to, I'm a mom now. Yeah. And that like, you have to almost evolve into a new kind of
type.
Genre to be able to keep it going.
And like within that, I would say like people who don't want children sometimes just get a dog that's very cute.
Yes.
And then all of their content is that. And I'm like, okay, so this is what we're doing. Like, we're making our dog an influencer because we have to monetize every part of our lives.
There's famous
like,
cats.
What are
There's
hobbies?
Famous dogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I follow several.
Yeah, we made this happen.
I love them.
I'm not
They post good shit. Okay?
I follow this account called The Kitten Lady on Instagram, which is this woman who rescues, like, neonatal kittens. And her fiance, I don't know if they're married yet, who's I am the cat photographer. I am so invested in their lives. They had a kitten that they rescued recently and it died. And I was destroyed for like a day. And it's like, look, kittens die all the time. It's like one of the main things that they do.
That's why there's so many.
Yeah. But like, I was so, it's crazy. I know when I log on to Instagram and I'm like, what's Kitten Lady up to? What are the cats doing? I'm like, I know what I'm doing, but I also like can't not do it because their life seems so interesting.
Do you know how much time you guys spend? Like, I got a new phone and it has screen time on it. Do you know how much time you spend?
Mine's not a lot anymore because now I have a job. But it used to be like 100 hours a week. I'm like, okay.
Mine's a lot.
Yeah.
Mine's 3.5 hours
five
a day.
A week.
I'm
never on my phone.
What's yours, Kieran?
Yeah, I was shocked that it was around 3 hours a day. Like, and then it's on some days it was like 5 hours a day. And I was like, the fuck is this? What am I doing? What am I doing with my life?
Emails, but I think
it counts like when you're using Google Maps.
Or Twitter. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime your phone doesn't turn off. That's
okay,
true.
So I was
like,
the Google Map thing made me feel a little better. I was like,
might be at least an hour.
I mean, I do need directions.
I mean, but that does bring up a point that Megan was talking about. It's not just like that influencers are chasing the dopamine charge of getting more followers. There is real money to be made. Mm-hmm. And right now, like one way that companies are competing for you is they're competing for your attention. You know, there are TV shows designed for you to be looking at your phone while you're watching the TV, like two screens at a time. There's screens in cars for kids to watch TV or to like interact with screens. Mm. There are like two screen experience movies you're supposed to go to. And it's like all about getting your attention and trying to tell you what to do with that attention or try to like figure out who you are and recommend things to you to buy.
Right.
And like influencers are sort of a personalized way for companies to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're like an extension of, a marketing history where, you know, people say word of mouth is the most important thing. So it's much easier to be like, oh, I don't have any friends in real life, but I follow this girl and I know everything she's doing. We're kind of like friends because like, you know, if she asked me like what I was up to, I could tell her like, oh, well, you know, something similar, blah, blah. And so you are more influenced by people that you're looking at every day. And I think that like, since we never leave our houses and we're all so distracted, it's like, well, these are my friends now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful and they have no pores and they're rich and all of their friends are good looking.
Every room they go into is bathed in light somehow.
So well lit. But then there was, I hope this isn't too sad, there was a YouTube star who it was like constantly posting videos and her with her dog. And then this video got leaked of her being abusive to her dog.
Trying to get the dog to be cuter.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. And so it's like, you also have to wonder, like, to what extent are the humans making these animals go to get them those likes?
Mm. Right. I mean, there's also, you know.
Is that crazy?
I mean,
do I sound crazy?
It's such an insane.
I know, it's it.
Because
it's
the animal doesn't care about the likes. The animal's like, give me the food.
Yeah, but we
I throw the ball at me.
We'll fuck around with babies all the time. Like, I have multiple friends that have babies, and I'm like, Rosie got more likes, you know, like, but your kid, but it, like,
Rosie
I do have,
deserves
I do
likes.
Have baby content that like through the roof. My baby content is huge. Mm. People love it.
There's, but here's the thing, like we're all, I mean, people who post pictures of animals, we can't really be sure that that's really what the animals like all the time. People who kind of use their kids for Instagram, which in some cases is like to a disturbing degree.
I mean, people have gotten in trouble for that too, like on YouTube outside of Instagram. Like people have gone to jail for like child abuse because they were like, making their kids do these videos and then something leaks of them like smearing shit on the wall in the background and they're like, oh, that's what serial killer kids do because you're like neglecting them.
Right.
Lil Tay, remember Lil Tay? Was that her name?
I don't know about that.
She like, she was this young girl who was like rapping and like flaunting like Hummers and Mercedes and then it turned out like it was her mom's boss's house and her mom got fired and is in big trouble for child abuse.
I mean, virality seems like it's like, it literally, like, infects the people who benefit. You know, you go viral, but you also, like, it makes you sick. There's something wrong.
Viral is a word.
It's a disease.
Comes from virus.
Yeah.
And your body decaying.
Yeah. There's something also about the idea of us being online all the time and deciding how we're going to represent ourselves. There's going to be a time when this, I think about this shit when I smoke too much pot, but also all the time. There's going to be a time when we are dead and what is left is the digital trail that we've made of ourselves. And there's an extreme divergence between who we have represented ourselves as online and who we actually were. Our memorials are for imaginary people. Like our digital memorials are for people that never existed.
I would push back on that because I mean, I think you're right. Like most of what's online is fake, but like in the history of photography, it's never who people really are. Like you know, a king is posing with grapes and like someone and like gold and everything. And it's like, yeah, that wasn't every day.
That's true.
Like even the photos I have of my grandmother, I'm like, yeah, this was the best you looked.
Yeah.
And like your family spent a lot of money to get this one picture and you're just sitting there like, mm-hmm. I was doing a dead face. This is a podcast. You can't hear my face. But I think that like—
We heard it.
Yeah. And I think that like sometimes I'll look back at even like childhood photos and I'm like, that's not what it felt like. I remember being terrified of Santa mm-hmm. and they're like, smile, God damn it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I love it here. I really want that Barbie. So I guess I'm going to stop crying.
Oh, I always am crying with Santa. there's no faking.
I'm like, why do I have to sit on him? Like, can I stand near him? That's part of the deal. The presents aren't coming unless I touch this man. Maybe I don't want this. I'm happy, but my family wouldn't let me be.
I was thinking about this last night as I was high and reading all of these articles, and I was wondering, like, so when moving pictures were first invented and people were like, I'm going to be a moving picture star, and their family was like, get a real job. It's kind of, we're like seeing that now too, because mm-hmm. if I had a child and they were like, I'm going to be an influencer, I'd be like, please don't. Mm-hmm. Can you do something else,
yeah.
But like maybe they're gonna out earn me in 6 months and I'm stupid and old.
Well, I would be, you know what, honestly, I would say if I had a kid and they wanted to be an influencer, I'd be like, that's fine, but you also need to learn skills that would be useful if the electrical grid went down. Mm-hmm. Like as right. being
yeah.
an influencer,
have a backup.
But like learn how to do, you need to have some apocalypse skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like know where the north is.
Yeah, right. Find it, you know, you can look at a tree and be like, moss is growing on this side. I don't want to walk in, or I do want to walk in this direction. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cartography.
Right.
The other thing is, how hard are people trying when they're doing their influencing? Because mm-hmm. it's like I remember when I was in Cuba, we're at this like really pristine, amazing lake, and like somebody had a nice DSLR and they were hella not enjoying that lake. Mm-hmm. Like they were yeah. going back and forth and taking footsteps along the path like a number of times. It reminded me of making a documentary, but like kind of a shitty, weird, bad one where yeah. you're just going to make the people who feel like people who are looking at this on the internet be like, wow. Mm-hmm. And I follow travel accounts mm-hmm. and I think about that with like the drone shots that people mm-hmm. are taking. So now you're in some like pristine, incredible place mm-hmm. and you're taking these intense drone shots. So what's that like for everyone else who's at that place?
Yeah. Why do we always have to be on set with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like it's, and you're literally watching somebody else, not like, even when that guy like jumped into the lake, it was clearly a performance. And then as soon as it was done, he was like, oh yeah, get out of the lake. And I was like, you're not even enjoying the mm-hmm. fucking lake, dude.
He's at work.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
at work. Right.
Do you guys follow Celeste Barber on Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's funny. Akila, do you want to give a rundown of what she does?
Yeah. So Celeste Barber is the GOAT because she basically recreates these absurd famous people and influencer posts, but like an average person would try to do. So it's like, here's this insane cover of a magazine where someone has contorted their body in an unnatural way and with Photoshop. And she's like, I'm going to do this with no Photoshop and like the same outfit that's like cheaper and made out of duct tape. And we're just going to like try to do it. And I'll post it exactly the same with a caption about like that's very... Not ironic, but like purposefully mocking. Mm-hmm. Like I too am an influencer. Mm-hmm. This is yeah. me looking great. Like I don't know if you all ever saw that video of some supermodel closing her car door by kicking the button at the top of like the back of a van. I don't know how to describe this. Like the van raises up and there's a button at the top. So she kicked it and then it came down. Like her leg was that long. And so Celeste, you know, just films herself trying to kick it for like an hour and a half and then it just never happens. And I'm like, this is what I like. Like this is, mm-hmm. you know, exposing the absurdity. And it's funny because she also is an influencer now.
And yeah. she's also like pretty.
Yeah.
Like I think that what is great about what she does is that she exposes the fact that like you can't judge yourself against what these people with these teams working on them are doing. Mm-hmm. And this is what it looks like when a regular person does it. And I'm doing fine and I'm happy and I'm great.
But also, she's popular for it.
Yeah.
And like something else that I think is interesting about the influencer conversation is like the things that become pervasive that even then become performative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't live in a nuanced time, so I'm going to say something, I'm going to get canceled. But I think that like there was a moment where people started being honest about their mental health. And then suddenly it was very in vogue to be like, my anxiety. And I'm like, these are people who were creating anxiety in other people with their fake lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that that does create a level of anxiety within yourself, because you're like, oh, if I meet someone in person, they're going to know I don't look as good as this photo. My house is not as clean. My dog is not as cute, mm-hmm. whatever. And so like that would create some sort of tension. But mm-hmm. I do think that there is now a trend of being like, I'm going to try to be so relatable in this caption, even with this fake ass photo, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. then people will like me more. Like if yeah. Celeste can build something, well, you know, I work out every day and I'm so hot. So now I can appropriate here's a being a regular
me,
yeah. person.
Yeah. Here's a picture of me crying where I'm obviously trying to like look
right. Like I'm definitely wearing makeup in my cries and my, yeah. my mascara is running perfectly.
I want to revisit something Akilah said really quickly though about influencers. I think there's like a difference between normalizing mental health concerns mm-hmm. and normalizing taking care of your mental health
yes.
and pathologizing normalcy.
Yes.
And like it's a blurry line and it's not one that I could like
yeah,
look
at. Yeah,
I
can't diagnose it.
Yeah, right. No but it does seem to be like something that's a little bit troubling, like pathologizing the fact that, you know, everybody has good days and bad days. And when you have a bad day, it doesn't mean that you need to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, like yeah. it
becomes then like a competition to see who has the worst problem.
Ooh,
or
yeah.
like who is, and it's like, it's just the worst part of humanity, which is like, how can I monetize this and make it palatable and make it pretty, even
yeah.
when it's like something that, you know, affects you or doesn't. But I think that like, I'm so glad that social media wasn't a thing when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Because I think that I would have been like, oh, well, my like depression and like my like body image problems aren't good enough to even post about.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like I don't have the words to, you know, say this in a way that's poetic
cool.
and pretty and right. a Rupi Kaur poem. You know what I mean? Like I don't
right.
have that. So I guess my mental health isn't as important. Like it's better to hear about it from someone else. And
right.
I think that's kind of a danger, because I also think that like teens are now diagnosing themselves with things because they're like, but that's,
yeah.
I relate to this person that's like 30 years older than me and like filters everything. And she says that she's like crying pretty and I cried ugly the other day. So I guess that I have the exact same problem. I'm like,
yeah.
no.
And someone who's like made their brand in that, then being like, oh, I can't not be depressed
exactly.
anymore, because that goes against what
yeah, people
I'm
aren't
making
gonna
money
like it,
from.
Right?
Yeah.
People aren't going to like my post if it's not sponsored by Zoloft. And it's like, that's a problem.
One of those things that crosses over into gross,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
What went through your head? Another thing that it kind of reminds me of is like, influencers can actually take a toll on the things that they are trying to pose in front of.
Mm.
Like, you guys remember the Super Bloom?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like last year, there was a super bloom out on the West Coast because of the amount of rain and the spring weather basically gave us like tons of flowers in certain areas. And influencers swarmed these big poppy fields and kind of tramped all over.
And just regular
them.
Ass people too. Everyone mm-hmm. I know went. I'm
Same.
Proud of myself. I didn't go after
didn't
reading
go.
This article. I was like, oh my God, I'm an environmentalist all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is my activism.
Yeah.
I stayed home.
I just didn't want to drive.
I look at my own flowers.
My activism is staring at a wall. I was like, I'm very
But
lost.
No, it was really sad to read that they like fucked that up
yeah.
and that we may not have flowers again.
Yeah.
No more carbon footprint though if you don't leave your house.
But that's a bit of the narcissism. Like, but it's like if you're going to go off paths or you're not going to care, you're going to do whatever you need to get the shot or whatever it is. I think there is a thing of like
entitlement.
It's entitlement, but it's narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm the one that matters because I need to get the thing for me. When you're around people like that,
mm-hmm.
what does it feel like to the rest of you? When you're around people who mm-hmm. are like, because there's I have had a very specific experience when somebody is like doing stuff for social media
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, it doesn't even feel like we're interacting at
mm-hmm.
all. Like,
oof,
I'm
yeah.
in a room with other people, and this mm-hmm. doesn't even feel like a conversation. Like,
uh-huh.
at this point, it feels like everything we're doing is so that
mm-hmm.
you have something to post so it looks a certain way.
It's almost ironic that now photo shoots actually feel the most real.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, when I see a comedian that has, like, new headshots, I'm like, that feels real to me. That's,
know.
Like, something you did and styled, and you, like, went, it because you, the fourth wall is almost broken. It's
mm-hmm.
like, we all know what the social contract mm-hmm. is of I sat and paid
right.
someone to take photographs of
yeah.
me, as opposed
yeah.
to I'm yeah, by a toxic waste lake.
This is me. This is me in a random hallway with my leg up behind me,
yeah,
alone, except someone's photographing me. Akilah, I wanted to talk about what you said about, like, this isn't something we've evolved to do. I think that it might be that our technology has advanced more quickly than our brains have advanced. Because obviously we're social animals and we need each other. And that's a healthy thing for people to do, is to seek each other out, mm-hmm, and try to make connections. That's the way we survived without getting eaten by bears.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us did. But those, you know, enough of us didn't, that we were able to, like, you know, form the human race and destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We did that.
But I think that this technology has, like, it, like, taps into that need, and our brains haven't figured out how to separate our social need from what technology allows us, mm-hmm, to do. And one of the articles that we used to research this was kind of discussing how social media is like an engineered addiction.
Yeah.
Because it takes things that we naturally want, and it kind of makes us indulge them in a way that's, like, really ugly and doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm. But we've also, I think, two things too. I think we've definitely put tech bros in this, like, genius space, where I'm like, these are dudes that were 18 when they built something,
yeah,
and we're just believing that they know better than everyone else. But also, all of these companies, like, to your point about, you know, just being not as smart as our tech, I think that the gravest mistake we've made as a human society, in every regard, for, like, in a forward-facing society, is incentivizing clicks, incentivizing time spent on apps, and giving our data away and feeling no way about it. Like, the reason why the algorithm can keep me on Instagram for 10 hours is because every time I click something, it says, okay, I know what she wants to buy, because she's liking all of this dumb shit. So now, mm-hmm, they're gonna serve me an ad. I'm gonna go to that website. For some reason, it never leaves Instagram when you do that. So I'm just spending time, and they're making more money. They're, mm-hmm, serving more ads, and they're making more money. It's the reason why journalism is dying, because if it's popular, then it's journalism. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's no longer, like, the smartest person or the best take or the most researched thing. We don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. We have to keep the lights on at the New York Times. So we're gonna have to have a racist article every week so, mm-hmm, that people click it and get angry. Like, that's the times we're living in, and I don't see a way out of that, because I think that, like, yeah, it's very lucrative for brands. You can be you can have a micro business and be successful and have a house in Byron Bay if, you know, you just like, if you have the engine of social media to say, I'm going to serve this ad to people who are impressionable at 2 a.m. and really want to buy into what you're, you know, the bullshit you're selling.
Mm-hmm. When you're exploiting something that's natural in individuals anyway, though, like, there was also an article that was like Dorian Gray. It's, mm-hmm, like, beauty has always been valued. Mm-hmm. Like, youth has always been valued, whether that was, like, at the debutante ball, right, or whatever, mm-hmm, it was, or whatever the event was where we valued those same tropes. It's like, now you can put that on the internet and it's just constant access to, mm-hmm, it. So now the difference is that it's 24/7,
yes,
and it's on a much broader and a much more global scale.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is that you think systemically there's something, you're saying that you could actually change the technology and incentivize better behavior if the interface of the way that the technology was structured was different?
Yeah, I think that you're right. We always seek out beauty, and I think that, like, that's just too ingrained in our culture to be removed. But I do believe that, like, we've created algorithms and ways to say, and I think, like, you know, we can point specifically to Google for this, but it's like, clicks are how you make money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can serve more ads if people click on your content, and Google Ads tells brands how many people are visiting your site. And so you've now got, and YouTube has the same thing, they're owned by Google. Instagram has the same thing. The more people follow you, the more money you're likely to make, because these numbers matter. And I think that had it not been set up in a way to say popularity is the only metric for good, then people might be posting more thoughtful things, and we would be consuming more thoughtful things, because, you know, the algorithm wouldn't be pushing bullshit, mm-hmm, for the sake of clicks. And so, you know, I'm going to get served a bunch of, you know, alt-right garbage on YouTube because they know I'll stay there either to get mad or to agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how YouTube makes money. They don't have a moral stance. They,
yeah,
just want people to stay there.
Yeah. So can I present a theory to you guys? I know that there's a lot of hand-wringing about all of this being bad for kids. Like, all
that's
these
so
kids
bad
are being brought in, and it definitely is. But I think that there's a lot of... we've neglected the discussion around the fact that this is bad for people who aren't digital natives. Nobody is worse at the internet than a person who got Facebook at 40.
Yes.
And those people are the one that handed Donald Trump the election. Those people are the ones that have no media literacy in the digital age.
Internet etiquette.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
They're the oversharers. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to someone I know in real life, I'm going to the internet.
Mm-hmm. Or fighting all day on Facebook.
And I think that another version of that is, you know, right now we're in the middle of this impeachment trial in the Senate, and all of the Republican senators are just embarrassing lapdoggery for Donald Trump. And part of the reason that they're all doing it is because they're afraid of him tweeting about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guys, log off. Mm-hmm. You can log off. And I think that that's a problem that I see in a lot of people that weren't digital natives and that never quite developed the part of the brain that can separate real life and the feeling of like the internet. I think that younger people have a little bit better coping ability to be like, oh, you know what? That's just Instagram. I know that that's fake.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I think it's amazing to watch an authentic argument on Facebook with older people who are like telling you exactly what they would be saying in real life. In a way, there's something very authentic to that. It's like when people are, you know, an old teacher of mine is like, oh, like teachers for Trump or whatever it is. And then there's a literal political debate that's happening below it. This is exactly what these people would be saying in real life.
Mm. And not to each other.
I think it's even crazier than what they'd be saying in real life.
Oh, I think it's definitely crazier. When I was when I was working at Jezebel, I used to get real rude missives from people because my email was...
But you're saying older people?
Older people. Yeah, a lot of them men. And what I started doing toward the end of the time is just... I mean, it's like, dude, I've got a fucking LexisNexis login. LexisNexis, I can do all of... Like, I have all these tools at my disposal to figure out who you are. Mm. And one time I forwarded an... I forwarded an email. A guy emailed
Veiled
me.
Veiled threat.
A guy emailed. No, but it's like, dude, you want to pull me into a dark alley and punch me in the face? I'm going to press charges.
I'm going to fucking find out who
you are. So this guy sent me an email that was just like sexist, racist, just appalling. And I found out that he was a doctor at a hospital, and I forwarded it to the hospital administrator.
Yeah, I'd be like, weird. Snap. You probably shouldn't be treating women or anyone of color or anything. Yeah. She's a murderer.
Just to be clear, the Facebook thread that I read was pretty civil.
Oh, wow.
It was like people being like, respectfully, I disagree because of this, or you were an amazing teacher to my child, and it's so disheartening because of X, Y, and Z. So it was way more civil.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm
from Kentucky.
I'm like, you should get on my Indiana threads because that is not what's happening.
No, it's all just shots fired.
Yeah.
But yeah, also to your point, I got an email here at Crooked from a weird old man, not that old, 40s, who was like, I just quote tweeted Donald Trump's like old tweet where he was like, can we impeach a president for incompetence? And I was like, we just did. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you didn't do anything but awaken the like sleeping beast, 53 million Americans, blah, 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 whatever. All this crazy racist shit. And
that he didn't even come up with.
Right.
And he was influenced by somebody to write that to you.
And his phone number was in the email. So I signed him up for every scam, like, contest sweepstakes online. I was like, copy paste, and like I put like racist McDick face as the name, so I know he's been getting calls forever that are just like, hello racist McDick face, you've won a Carnival cruise, and he's like, stop calling.
Oh, he's going on that Carnival cruise. Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, okay, I love a cruise.
You need my social security number, cool.
How did they know my name that I prefer to go? How did they know my preferred name? One thing I will say that it's like, I know that people on the internet aren't real, and I don't know if this is influencer adjacent, but I will say, like, hurtful comments on the internet, or you've gotten a ton of this. I remember when you said from Jezebel, but it's like when people say really nasty stuff, it still feels real to some extent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I will, sometimes I'll go and I'll like look someone up. There's one guy who was like, you're the worst, or I hate you, or your face is dumb. And then it's like, I looked at his page and it was like, there was an animatronic, avatar that was an animated cartoon that was wearing a patriotic bikini where the balls were just shaking as dancing for 2 minutes. And I was like, I would never take this person seriously in real life. And it's amazing the way that it can be challenging, even when you know it cognitively, like viscerally, it can still feel hard to separate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels hurtful, but that's an important thing to internalize, is that like, I think of it after, you know, maybe 10 years of being somebody who was accessible and reachable online by people who don't like me. Mm. I think of it as sort of like, when a kid, if you're babysitting a kid and you won't let them eat candy for dinner and they get mad and they go take a black crayon and they draw you and they scribble over your face and they show you the picture and they're like, this is you. And you're like, okay. Like,
yeah, you got me.
Yeah. I know the intention is you wanted to do a mean thing to me. And I don't like that, but also like this doesn't hurt me, you know?
Mm. Right.
It doesn't, I mean, not, the internet is real enough that it can influence elections and ruin democracy, but it's not real enough that it can ruin your day, you know?
Unless it's that kitten dying.
Oh my God.
Don't remind her.
At least the mom, Twinkle, got adopted.
Okay, good for Twinkle.
You know, our influencer in chief is a really good example of the way that influence culture can get totally out of hand. And we have to wrap up this discussion right now, but I want to wrap it up with the fact that 2020 primaries starting up right now. Mm-hmm. Eyes on the prize. Mm-hmm. We got to get that guy out and hopefully move to a more sane future where influencers are only selling us perfect lives and sun-washed hallways instead of annihilation.
Yeah. As we were sitting here, I got a cameo request.
Awesome.
And on that note, here are some ads. And we're back. We've reached the part of the show where we get real petty about things that don't really matter that much. Mm-hmm. It's the hills we'll die on. Let's get started with a listener hill.
Hey, Hysteria listeners. This is Shihana from San Francisco. The hill that I will die on is at the airport. After you go through the security line, stop putting on your clothes, your shoes, whatever you took off at the fucking belt. Go and pick up your shit, take your little trays, and go sit down. You know what? They provide you a space to do it. When you're doing it at the belt, all you're doing is being selfish, inconsiderate, and inconvenient to everyone. Stop being an asshole. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
That's an old man thing.
That's airports are amateur hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I think I'm never the most indignant as when I'm at the airport and someone like pushes my stuff to get their stuff because it's like slowly coming out and I'm like, excuse me. And the man's like, oh, I had to get my things. I'm like, we're all getting on a flight, you fucking idiot. Back up. And he's like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I like ruin every old man's day.
I have an airport-based hill.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
I think bathrooms in the airport, all the doors swing into the stall. But now nobody is checking bags because it costs money to check bags. So we all have suitcases in. They need to redo all the bathroom doors so they swing out. There's got to be some ergonomical reason they didn't do that in the first place. They'd hit people or something. Mm-hmm. But you can't. You're
this
like,
is excellent.
We're dipping coats in toilets. We're you're getting the door stuck on your suitcase.
It's madness. Just not. Yeah.
It makes no it sense. Is. And it's like, if someone gets hit with a door, you make a friend. That, you're not. That's not the end. That's the least bad thing that's going to happen to you while you're flying.
You edge into like where the toilet is.
It's
like,
so bad.
The space between the seat and the wall, just so that then,
like
then you're
stuck.
Like pushing. You're pushing the door closed over your suitcase. You're just
turning
like
the suitcase.
Just it's like gymnastics.
Just open
it's
the door.
It's yoga. It's Pilates.
Out.
You know what? It's figure skating. I feel like a male figure skater, like twirling my tiny little partner as I'm getting into the bathroom stall at the airport. Okay, that's a good one. I'll die there with you, Megan.
Thank
Beautiful.
You. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so here's my hill. My hill is long con, wedding, and man related, straight man related. Okay, so I have a theory. I think that straight men, as children, fake having bad handwriting. So that when they get married, they don't have to write thank you cards. That's what I think they're faking it. Because, okay, so we had an engagement party over the holiday, and we're writing thank you cards. And as we were writing them out, Josh was like, oh, look at my handwriting. Shows me. Okay, first of all, I'm left-handed, so my handwriting should be shit.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's beautiful because I learned how to write. Josh has no excuse. And there's no excuse for it looking like a 10-year-old boy wrote the addresses on our envelopes. There's no excuse for that. I just think that I think it's learned helplessness. I think it's straight male learned helplessness so that one day they don't have to do thank you cards. Okay, Kieran, you want to go next?
Mine is about chargers. There are so many of them now. Like, it's the, you know, I have like a tangle.
This does sound like an old man.
I am an old man.
Why is everything a different charger? But I hate it.
The EU is literally going into like they're maybe going to legislate a universal cable because it's fucking ridiculous. It's like bad for the environment. It's bad for it's bad for money. Mm-hmm. It's like, why the fuck do you, what is the,
capitalism.
Why?
This
why?
Honestly sounds like something Joe Biden would say in the next debate.
But that's how I feel.
Planned it's like, obsolescence.
I literally haven't bought a telephone in years.
A telephone.
Yeah.
You went all the way. You said
I haven't bought
name.
A telephone.
A rotary phone. I got right in my horseless carriage and I
haven't bought the rotary.
My telephone.
Since 1897.
Kieran picks up her phone and she goes, operator. Operator.
There's no dial tone.
I don't trust the EU to be able to get this done, though, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, they're going
to
Brexit
they need
on
to
that,
focus
too.
On what they've got on their plate they've right got, now. That's,
I mean, yeah, it seems low on the priority list. Mm-hmm. But I remember I read that article and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Do it, EU.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is relatable. Anyway, I'm upset by the a number of
I blame Apple.
I have to have.
Mm. Yeah. It Apple's
too much influence.
They're fucked
way
up.
Too close to the sun.
Yeah.
Akilah, what hill will you die on?
So many. But I definitely think that the one that's getting to me lately is people don't ever speak at the right volume. And I think that I have really good hearing. Like when they do those things for like, if you have young ears, you can hear this frequency. Like I always hear it.
Weird flex.
Weird flex, but okay. These
See,
ears
that's
are picking
how you
it
use
up.
It.
It's right. My ears can hear stuff really well. And I feel like no one is ever the right volume. Like if you're at a drive-thru, it's just like,
yeah.
But then when you're like at TSA, they're like, you have to go over here. And I'm like, I'm right next to you. You're screaming into my face about taking my shoes off and I'm in pre-check. So I'm not going to. And you're talking too goddamn loud at 7 a.m.
I hate a loud talker.
I'm always like, I'm right here. Like I can't.
A volume
just
hill feels like an old people hill too.
No, because it's like
this is an old people hill. Old people are literally complaining about noise. Like, shut up.
It's
like,
not that it's loud always though.
Or be quiet.
It's the wrong volume.
Yeah, it's the wrong volume.
I think that they're just like in the actual rooms that we're in, people are unaware of the distance. And I tend to think that it is a technology thing. And I think that like in ways it's an old thing, like because my mom yells on the phone and I'm like, it's up to my ear. I hear you clearly. Yeah.
The sound doesn't need to travel from Kentucky to
right. Like
Los
she
Angeles.
Thinks that like, oh man, she has to make this connection. So it's just screaming. Sometimes she'll be standing like I'm sitting next to Erin. She'll be sitting this far away from me. And she'll be like, Kayla. And I'm like, I'm here. It gives me a lot of rage when you yell, when you're like, I can literally whisper. I could do that thing where I throw my voice. I'm that close.
Yeah.
It's wild.
All right, guys. That's all the time we have for Hills this week. If you want to send us one, you can record a voice memo on your phone and send it to hysteria@crooked.com. If you have an opinion about the Hills from this week, you can tweet at us using the hashtag hysteria. You know, a funny thing about that hashtag, if you click on it, a lot of Def Leppard content. A lot of people who are bots tweeting about vaping rules and how they shouldn't exist. And then there's a lot of our great listeners tweeting about things that they heard on the show. So let's use it. Let's overtake that hashtag because I don't really need to read about vaping and Def Leppard anymore. Okay. I want to thank you guys all for stopping by today. Akilah, thanks for waking up in the morning.
Only for you.
Kieran and Megan, thank you for stopping by. Thanks to Alyssa Mastromonaco for calling in. And thanks to you for listening. There will be more Hysteria next week. Hysteria is a product of Crooked Media. Caroline Reston is our producer. Our editor is Sarah Barrett, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thank you to Juliet Beckstrand for production support, and to our digital team, Elijah Cohn and Nadina Melkonian, for filming and editing our video content every week.